Welcome to the Consulting Success Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Zapersky. In this podcast, we'll dive deep into the world of elite consultants, where you'll learn the strategies, tactics, and mindset to grow a highly profitable and successful consulting business. Hey, it's Michael Zapersky, and today I'm very excited to have John Mitchell joining us. John, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So, John, for those who don't know you, explain what you do.
Well, I'm in the success and human achievement field. And if I may, can I tell you basically my story and we'll go from there?
Love to.
Well, I started my career as a CPA and became an entrepreneur when I was 30. But when I turned 50, like maybe a lot of people, I just wasn't as successful as I thought I should be. And I had two goals in my life: to make enough money so I didn't have to work and to find the woman of my dreams. And so, Michael, at 50, I was falling short on both of them. And as an entrepreneur, I was always blessed to make well into six figures, but never close to a million a year. Mm-hmm. And on finding the girl at 50, I'd never been married. But I can tell you it was not from lack of interviewing. I could tell you a lot of interviewing. But then a defining moment happened really 3 days after I turned 50. And picture this. You're sitting in your office, you're kicked back, you got your feet on your desk, and you really start thinking about your life, and you do the math. And I realized that if I didn't start netting over $1 million a year, I'd really never have that exceptional life that I always dreamed of. The freedom, the lifestyle, the sense of accomplishment. And this just hit me like a ton of bricks, and it was clear, by God, I had to make it happen in my 50s. And so I made the decision. Working hard didn't work. And while it worked for making six figures a year, I had clearly proven it didn't work for making seven. And I just knew there had to be something else. So I made the decision to find out what that something else is. And then, so I'm on the search. And probably 3 months after I turned 50, a pearl of wisdom hit me. Why not find the top book in the world on success and achievement ever written and then apply it literally word for word to my life? And so the logic was so simple and compelling. And so after some research, I found that there actually is one book that sells over all others on the topic, and it's Think and Grow Rich. Michael, I know you're familiar with the book, right?
Yeah, it's a great book.
Right. Well, here's what's really significant about it. The book has created more millionaires and billionaires than any other book on the planet. So it was like just exactly what I was looking for. So, Michael, I read the book, and the central concept is what you envision in detail on a daily basis is what shows up in your life. But then I discovered a problem, and it really was a pretty big problem. There wasn't a practical way to apply the book. So after moping around probably for a couple of weeks, it came to me that maybe I had to create that practical application for myself. And so I did, and I applied it to a new business I was starting in the financial services industry. And so over 9 years, I continually tweaked this 12-minute-a-day methodology I created. And over that 9 years, my income went from low six figures a year to over $5 million a year. So it was really quite a change from my 20-year history, really a 25-time increase. And Michael, surprisingly, I could see why it was happening. By applying science to my life, really for the first time ever, I was influencing my daily actions and thoughts. And clearly, I was operating at a higher level than I ever had before, and I could literally feel it. And the best news was I also met the woman of my dreams by applying my 12-minute-a-day methodology. And so the results I saw really changed me as an entrepreneur, and I became fascinated by the fact that you could take two key scientific principles and apply them to your life and materially impact your success and achievement in life. And it amazed me that you could make such a small change that only took 12 minutes a day and so radically change your outcomes. And so I found it so intellectually interesting that I sold my company, and I passionately teach this methodology to others.
So, John, we're going to have to dig into this because I think we can't leave people hanging with generalities. There's so much that you just shared that I know people would want to understand more about. So let's start off with, what is this 12-minute-a-day practice or methodology or approach that allowed you to take your income from, as you said, low six figures to 5 million per year. What exactly are you doing during that 12-minute period per day?
Well, basically, I'm applying the central concept of the book, Think and Grow Rich. What you envision in detail on a daily basis, what shows up in your life. And how that plays out is I define exactly the person I want to be, exactly what I want to accomplish, and precisely how I'm going to achieve my clearly defined goals. Mm-hmm. And when you feed that to yourself every single day, that's what shows up in your life. Science literally takes over, and that's what shows up in your life.
So I think a lot of people, that concept may not be new to them, right? They know that maybe what you think about is what shows up. I mean, there's been other works, even in from movies and books that have right. talked about this concept. Yet a lot of people in business, I think, are, call it scared or just in disbelief that this actually holds true, right? They feel it's maybe a little bit too far out of left field. It's a bit too right. warm and fuzzy. It's like, yeah, you know, if I really think about it, is it going to really show up? So what do you say to those people? And maybe could you offer a concrete, specific example of one thing that you really wanted to call it manifest or something that you wanted to occur in your life that it did and how you made that happen?
Good question. Well, and I think that's certainly a valid question too. But here's what's interesting, Michael. This isn't woo-woo. This is pure science. And in fact, Time Magazine did a cover story on the science behind this, which is ironic because Think and Grow Rich was written in the 30s, mm-hmm. and it wasn't based on science at all. It was just the experience. Andrew Carnegie, who sponsored the book and got Napoleon Hill to write it, he saw something in all his rich friends, one thing, and he turned Napoleon Hill loose to explore what that one thing is. He knew what it was, but he wanted Napoleon Hill to find it on his own and then share it with the world. And so that's sort of the concept. But the science then, especially over the last 20 years, you know, intense interest in what mega achievers, and the science has been that it comes down to control of self and focus. And I'll share with you why that works. And maybe the way to do this is to challenge your audience a little bit, if you don't mind.
Let's do it.
So let's just step back from your life and just evaluate the way you're creating success and achievement. Is it really working? I mean, that's what I went through at 50. And think big picture. And really, is your level of success in all areas of your life up to your standard based on the actual results you're seeing? Sometimes we have trouble being objective about the results, but based on the actual results, are you happy with your level of success in each area of your life? Well, I found if you're not, you've been missing one key bit of information. And once you understand it, everything changes. And here's what it is. If you do no daily programming, you're using the default operating system that is literally centuries old and gears you to daily survival. And Michael, there's three problems with this. First, it causes 90% of your thoughts to be fear-based. Secondly, it causes you to have literally less than 20% control over yourself. And thirdly, and maybe most importantly, it causes you to be reactive rather than proactive on your important agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's probably easy to see why that would be the case. If you're innately geared towards daily survival, you have to be reactive. But it's exactly the opposite of the way you need to be in order to be productive, creative, and happy. And so that fundamental problem that we all have, you can only overcome it with daily programming.
So, John, really what I'm hearing you say is we can think about our minds and ourselves as a computer, as a machine to a degree. And if we just continue to go through our daily lives with the status quo and the way that we've always been doing things, we're leaving a lot of opportunity on the table because we don't have the latest version of our software, and we don't have the latest right. operating system, or we don't have the best operating system that we could have. And by implementing an approach where every single day you are in the moment presently really thinking about what is it that you want, how are you going to achieve it, and kind of working through that process, your mind starts to be more proactive as opposed to being reactive, because you're thinking actively about what you want and how you're going to go about getting it. Is that accurate?
Yes, essentially. But let me dig deeper into that a little.
Please do.
You're right on the cusp of it, I think. So if you really think about it, your success and achievement in life always comes down to your daily action. Would you agree with that?
Definitely.
Well, there is a specific part of your brain that controls your daily actions and thoughts. And Michael, here's what's interesting. That part of your brain is not influenced by logic, only by repetition. And the reason that's significant is because we're all used to only influencing ourselves with logic. And logic is how you set your intentions. But the part of your brain that actually determines your success and achievement in life, your everyday actions and ongoing thoughts, doesn't respond to logic at all. And maybe the best way to explain this is an example. Let's say you want to lose weight. The intention to lose weight was made by the conscious mind based on logic, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the actual actions to lose weight, controlling what you eat and discipline and exercising, are controlled by the subconscious mind, which is only influenced by repetition. And so the reason most people fail at losing weight is certainly not from lack of intention. Mm-hmm. It's from lack of influencing that part of their brain that controls their everyday actions and thoughts. Does that make sense?
Completely. So I want to go even more specific then to provide value for everyone listening here. Walk us through what that daily practice looks like in as much detail as you're able to, so that we really get a sense of what are the questions right. that we ask or what takes place during that 12 minutes.
Right, right. Well, and you know, maybe the initial way to explain this is the comparison to meditation. So, do you meditate?
From time to time. I'm working on doing it more often.
Right. I think a lot of people are challenged with meditation. But so meditation is all about quieting the mind, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is the exact opposite. This is about focusing the mind and feeding to yourself exactly the person you want to be, exactly what you want to accomplish, and precisely how you're going to achieve your clearly defined goals. And in terms of feeding that to yourself, you've got five parts of your life. You've got yourself, you've got your health, you've got your significant other relationship, you got your spirituality, and you got your career. And you define clarity in each of those areas. And when you feed that to yourself, coupled with defining your top three goals and the key behaviors behind those goals, then that's what ends up showing up in your life approximately 21 days after you start.
Got it. So you're going to be thinking about kind of going through each of those five on a daily basis, plus the three goals that you have for that day and considering what actions you need to take to realize those goals that day.
Right. Michael, here's maybe an example that this was sort of eye-opening for me when it happened. So as I mentioned, I didn't get married until I was in my 50s. And mm-hmm. when I did, I discovered something that my married friends failed to share with me. Every once in a while, your spouse will say something irritating.
Sure, no, come on, that never happens.
Well, I have found it hard to believe too, but, but it did. And when it happened, I didn't like what came out of my mouth. And so I decided to fix it. And so I would feed to myself every day that I was flexible, patient, and thoughtful.
Mm.
Well, 15 days in, nothing. I'm no more flexible, patient, and thoughtful than I was when I started. But about the 21st day, my precious wife says something irritating. And in that moment, Michael, I'm flexible, patient, and thoughtful. That's who I was. And it happened automatically without thinking. And the reason it didn't work 15 days in is because my subconscious mind thought that the programming was going away. But after 21 days, it realized it wasn't going away. And then it served it up into my thoughts and actions without thinking. That was the science kicking in. And to me, that was so enlightening to be able to step back and see that, because it just was so powerful that it happened automatically. And I also sort of from that evolved to see that from doing this every day, literally, I felt like I had doubled or tripled my control over myself.
Mm.
I saw I was laser focused on what moved the needle, and that happened automatically. Again, it wasn't like I was making myself focus on what moved the needle. That it was just naturally, I focused on what moved the needle every day, and all the distractions fell by the wayside. And what was interesting is 50, when I was making $5 million a year, I could see, I was just operating at a much higher level than I was in my 30s and 40s when I didn't have this.
So, John, I want to come back to the time when you were making $5 million a year. But before we get there, I want to explore one other thing, and that is the example you used around weight loss. Great one.
Right.
You know, a lot of people use that as an example because so many people are challenged by it. But let's even take putting this 12-minute practice into our daily lives consistently, because like many people, right, we might have the intention and the understanding that this would be beneficial. I think there's very little argument that I would have. I mean, I would have none to the value in this. I can clearly see the value in this. I think most people listening will see the value in a practice like this one. But then there's a difference between thinking and seeing that value and actually doing it consistently, right? So what is the key for someone to implement and then consistently actually pull out their piece of paper or their book or whatever it is and think through these five things and plan their three goals for the day? How do you encourage people? What have you found best to actually assist people in applying this practice on a daily basis?
Well, that's a great question. And I think we live in this world of everything's the greatest, right? And I think that oftentimes we don't know what is truly great and what isn't. Would you think that's true?
Yeah, I think, we know what we know and we don't know what we don't know.
Right, right. Well, I was just listening to a podcast today about what's the number one thing people want today, and they want to trust somebody. Getting trust seems to be the number one challenge for everybody, to find something they trust. And as that relates to this, I think I look back on when I was really realized that I got to make seven figures a year and pressure was on in my 50s, and deciding to go find the book Think and Grow Rich. And once I realized, wow, this really is the greatest selling book of all time on success, with over 100 million copies sold and more millionaires and billionaires have been created from it. I'm like, well, how do I get any more credibility than that? I mean, this is it. This is absolutely the peak in terms of credibility. And that's what made it easy for me to go, well, at least we don't have to go find something better. This is it. And if I can just apply it to my life, then boom, I got it.
So was it the hunger that you had? Is it just the commitment that you wanted to be making seven figures? Is that what really compelled and put you into action to practice this on a daily basis, or something else?
That's a great question. I think that if you really look at it, most people have only a preference for big success.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a necessity. And you'd find this interesting. When I created this, I decided that I was going to go to the top expert in the world on success and achievement. And I ascertained that Darren Hardy is that person. Mm-hmm. You know Darren?
Sure, from Success. I think he used to be at Success. I think he sold it, didn't he? Yeah.
Right. And he is arguably the top expert in the world on success and achievement. And so I thought, by God, if I'm going to spend the rest of my life on this, I'm going to go show it to him, and maybe he's going to see a flaw in it, or somebody else is doing something similar. And I showed it to him. He looks at it, and he goes, wow, this is really good. But he says, John, most people are not going to spend 12 minutes a day doing anything to improve their success and achievement in life. And I'm like, well, wait, how can that be?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I know. He says, you're not that way, I'm not that way, but I'm talking about most people will not spend that time because success is merely a preference. It's not a priority.
Mm.
It's not a necessity. And to me, I'm like, wow, life is so precious and you only get one shot at it. Why are you not going to do something that is relatively easy? It's not like I'm asking you to go out and run 10 miles every morning. I mean, that'd be pretty damn hard. I'm talking about taking 12 minutes and reading about your favorite subject in the world. And then you let science take over and it doubles your control over yourself.
John, I think this is such a powerful and important message, because there's clearly people who are committed to success and what I often like to call meaningful success. which is not only financial, right? It can be relationships, or it can be any aspect of your life or business that's important to you.
Right.
Those that are really committed to it, I see what you're talking about as a great approach and kind of path for them to become even better, to really excel in that one area. But at the same time, probably for the vast majority of people who just see it as an option, or it's, as you said, a preference, right? Not a priority.
Right.
They're not going to get the benefit from it. But I think that's true in every aspect of our lives and business, right? I look at consultants who say, you know, I want to land more clients, or I want to be able to earn more. And then they have clarity around what they need to do to actually make that happen. There's two kinds of people. There's people who will make excuses and not actually implement because for them, it's not a priority. And then there's people who have the exact same skill set who do implement and see great results because it's the priority for them. And I think this really applies in every aspect of life. And it's why we have certain people in any given industry who are high performers, who see extraordinary levels of success. And we see others who just kind of struggle to get by. Would you agree?
Yeah. And that's something about your podcast that I love. And I'm so appreciative to be on it. You're leveraging this wisdom that you have to consultants who then spread it to their clients. And I don't know if you were like this, but I know when I was probably in my 30s, I started thinking, is there a success formula out mm-hmm. there? And I would define a success formula as something that worked every time with every person, where if you just did it, you'd be successful. And so in my 30s, I searched for that and didn't find it. And then in my 40s, I sort of shifted a little and I thought, well, I'm making six figures, which is not bad, but I see I'm not getting where I want to go. And I mm-hmm. thought, I'm just going to focus on doing my best because that's something I could control. Well, helpful, but I also saw that doing my best didn't get to seven figures either, because you don't know what you don't know. And especially if you're not growing intellectually as much as you should, which is a whole nother subject. So, and in my 40s, I'm searching for that success formula as well. And finally, when I hit my 50s, I'm like, well, there is no success formula. The closest thing I've come to is hard work, but hard work doesn't really qualify as a success formula. And then when I read Think and Grow Rich and read what you envision in detail on a daily basis is what shows up in your life, I'm like, damn, that's it. That is a success formula. All the things I've read and seen, this is it. And surprisingly, it had the credibility behind it. And so,
John, now your focus is working with high achievers and helping them to implement this practice. When you were running the other business in the financial space, I believe it was a mortgage business, and you were generating $5 million in income for yourself annually, you went from six figures, got to $5 million. What did you do? I mean, aside from spending 12 minutes a day working through this kind of practice, tangibly, what actually changed? Just kind of walk us through how you got from six figures to $5 million per year.
Well, great question. And here's what it was, really. I would feed to myself every day my succinct business plan, my unique strategy for success, the three things that move the needle in my business, the linchpin issue in my business, meaning what was the hold me back from going to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would feed those four things to myself every day, along with my three goals. Usually only one or two of the goals would be on my business. But so every day I would feed that to myself. And again, it took 12 minutes a day. Well, a couple of things happened. First, it was so easy to implement because it was so top of mind. But the thing that sort of surprised me was that by feeding that vision to myself every single day, my vision for my business expanded and moved forward probably 20 times faster than it ever had before. And the reason that happened is because when you're feeding that vision to yourself every morning, you're getting your subconscious mind and your overall mind to work on it 24/7, constantly mm-hmm. sort of challenging and refining that vision that you have for your business. And before I was doing this 12-minute-a-day methodology, I certainly had a vision for my business, but it wasn't applying my subconscious mind to it 24/7. That mm-hmm. only happened once I started feeding it every day. Again, keep in mind, subconscious mind only responds to repetition. And so I saw that the reason why I felt this momentum pulling my vision forward was because my subconscious mind was constantly challenging what I had for my business plan. And I realized that probably in anybody's business plan and strategy for success, and it's 80% right and 20% wrong. I mean, it'll vary. But when you're constantly challenging it subconsciously, it's bringing to light the flaws in it. And what's interesting is when you discover a flaw, it usually brings you the better solution as well. And it sort of blew me away that, you know, I felt like I had this momentum of pulling my vision forward. And I really came to realize that, hey, you know, whatever I envision in detail, I actually can create. You know, it felt like having a superpower. That's what I see today. Whatever I envision in detail, I actually can create.
A very important message and such a valuable one. Myself experienced many situations like this and positive results from applying my own kind of practice to this. But it sounds like you have a really good structure to this approach, John. I really want to thank you for coming on and sharing. There's so much more that we could explore together in terms of your story and specifics around your practice. What I want to do is encourage people to connect with you, to reach out, to learn more about your work and what you do. What's the best way for people to do that?
Well, the name of my company is Think It, Be It, and the website is thinkitbeit.net. And Michael, I've got a gift for your audience, and it's Train the Brain to Net Over $1 Million a Year, The 5 Things You Must Know. And if that or anything I've mentioned interests you, text me at 44222. Then Train the Brain, no spaces. And so again, it's 44222, Train the Brain. And I'll send you my gift once I get your text.
Cool. Awesome. So there you have it. We'll have all of these details in the show notes as well. John, thank you so much for coming on and sharing this with us.
Okay. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Consulting Success Podcast. For more episodes and to subscribe, rate, and leave a review, head on over to iTunes. And if you'd like to develop consistent lead flow and a highly profitable consulting business, learn more about our coaching programs at consultingsuccess.com.